At moments of extreme bewilderment and confusion, such as the United Kingdom is presently enduring, it is often a usefully clarifying exercise to set out the facts as they are. This is also a handy recourse for the scripters of radio explainers, hoping to buy themselves a small amount of time before they set about attempting, in some modest way, to reduce the bafflement of their listeners. So here is where we presently are, with due recognition that this could all have been overtaken by some other eruption of nonsense between right this very second and the time you finish listening to it.
Parliament has not been prorogued. This is the unanimous judgment of all 11 justices.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom passed down an unprecedentedly brutal judgment on the behaviour of a British government. The court ruled unanimously that the Prime Minister, who for reasons surpassing understanding is actually Boris Johnson, acted unlawfully when he advised the Queen to prorogue Parliament in advance of the UK's anticipated departure from the European Union on October 31st.
This court has already concluded that the Prime Minister's advice to Her Majesty was unlawful, void, and of no effect.
In the view of the court, and therefore the law,
the prorogation was also void and of no effect.
And Parliament was never actually closed. It is extremely difficult to overstate the severity of this judgment, or the surprise of most observers who expected that the British system would proceed as it usually does, serenely along a well-worn path paved with convention and euphemism. There was widespread anticipation that Johnson might be on the receiving end of a bit of classic British passive-aggressive disapproval, but that would probably be the limit of it. The court's judgment was not that. It is utterly, unequivocally, unspinably damning. In normal times, it would prompt a swift but dignified statement of resignation by the Prime Minister.
His position is untenable, and he should have the guts for once to do the decent thing and resign.
In normal times, however, serious countries are not led by mildly amusing newspaper columnists who've built an infuriatingly consequence-free career on bluff and blather.
You do not have to say anything. Is that right? But anything you say... Hang on, let's get this right. Anyway, you get the gist.
Nor do informed democracies usually turn in an hour of crisis to the person who caused the crisis. Boris Johnson's struggle to avoid becoming the UK's shortest-serving Prime Minister, he has 57 days to go, continues. As listeners who've been following Brexit will already know, the United Kingdom is unusual in not having a written constitution. Instead, the UK has always operated according to what the historian Peter Hennessy once called the good chap theory of government, that everyone, whatever their political disagreements, understands the fundamentals of how things ought to be done, which is usually based significantly on how they have always been done.
Just following on the comments from the member for Brighton Pavilion, I'm sure it might be possible to provide the Leader of the House with a pillow to make him more comfortable, as he seems to be struggling during this debate.
These last few years, the UK has been having a bash at not doing things like the UK used to do them, which is how we got to where we are and why Boris Johnson has not, at least as we go to air, walked. Adding to the general gaiety, Johnson has had to truncate his visit to the United Nations General Assembly in New York to fly back to London last night as a furious and vindicated Parliament reconvenes. This is almost certainly not the first time that Johnson has needed to pack quickly to return home in a hurry in order to try blustering his way through some or other self-created shambles. Given that Boris Johnson no longer commands a majority in the House of Commons, Parliament can theoretically do as it pleases, including bringing about Johnson's defenestration from 10 Downing Street. However, this would nigh certainly force an election, which the opposition Labour Party still seems not to want, or wants only in circumstances which suit it better than the present. Despite everything, Labour's leader, Jeremy Corbyn, is somewhat less popular than Finnish jazz. It is far from unlikely that were an election held, Boris Johnson would win. But the conundrum which must be more immediately resolved is that on October 31st, by force of law, the UK will leave the EU. However, by force of another law, the UK cannot leave the EU on October 31st without a withdrawal agreement in place by October 19th, and this Parliament so far has refused to pass one. As to what happens next, you really might as well write some scenarios down on raffle tickets and pluck one out of a big hat, or engage a chimpanzee with a dartboard. The usual rule with Brexit has been that the single most absurd possible outcome is also the likeliest. But here is a thought. There is a makeable case that what we have witnessed is democracy, the United Kingdom's strange, amorphous, vaguely defined democracy, working exactly as it should. The executive attempted to override Parliament. The judiciary overruled the executive. British law and the sovereignty of the UK's Parliament have been upheld, which is exactly what Boris Johnson and all other Brexiters, though they may not be in a mood to enjoy the irony, said they wanted all along. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.